I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time 316, the three things you need to know this hour first.
Utah's trigger law would outright ban abortions here if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, but it only takes effect if it's deemed by the Supreme Court there's not a constitutional right to an abortion, not if they end up just making abortions legal after a certain point. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayers.
Second, the U.S. has found its first case of the Omicron variant in the states. The San Francisco patient has mild symptoms. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot, sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Ricky?
Cleanup continues of a crash at 5th South and 5th West in downtown Salt Lake City. And you still need to avoid the intersection where we've had a very serious crash in West Jordan, Redwood Road, 9800 South. All directions are impacted. Use an alternate route and plan ahead. Ricky Meeson, the KSL Traffic Center.
Warm, dry conditions and hazy skies. I'm Brett Benson.
Nice 54 degrees downtown. Time for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Michigan, the 15-year-old suspected gunman in yesterday's high school shooting outside of Detroit was arraigned as an adult.
Sir, do you understand all the charges against you?
The judge, entering a plea for the suspect, identified as Ethan Crumbly, who entered a plea of not guilty. A fourth student died today. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard says the teen met with teachers that day and afterward video showed him emerging from a bathroom with a gun. He pushed back on reports. Threats were made ahead of time.
We had no information from the schools, but we have since learned that the schools did have contact with the student the day before and the day of the shooting for behavior in the classroom that they felt was concerning.
Authorities say the gun was purchased by the suspect's father. The first case of Omicron now confirmed in the U.S., a person in San Francisco.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says with the state's population of 40 million and the strong genome sequencing programs in the Silicon Valley that it's not surprising the first case of Omicron in the U.S. was found in this state. The patient is fully vaccinated but had not received a booster.
This individual is doing well, mild symptoms. The people that this individual came into contact have been tested.
It remains unclear if the variant actually is more transmissible, if it is any more deadly, and if it more easily evades vaccines. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The U.S. Supreme Court today hearing arguments in a case likely to affect abortion rights nationwide.
The Supreme Court may or may not overturn Roe v. Wade, but Chief Justice Roberts seemed to suggest a way to undo it while considering a Mississippi abortion ban at 15 weeks.
If it really is an issue about choice, why is 15 weeks not enough time?
Julie Rickelman at the Center for Reproductive Rights defended the precedent that states cannot ban abortion before a fetus is viable at 24 weeks.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. You're listening to ABC News.
And let's get you up to date on traffic and weather. It's sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Ricky Meese.
Overall, not a bad drive on your Salt Lake County freeways. We are starting to see traffic building a little bit in spots at Draper, Bluffdale, rounding the point of the mountain, but really a delay-free drive there. Now, we do have a rolled semi still being cleared. It's not really affecting traffic, even though it's blocking a left lane. It's on the transition ramp from southbound I-215's west belt to go to eastbound I-80. But the spot you need to avoid and use an alternate route while crews continue to investigate this crash, it's in West Jordan, the intersection of Redwood Road and Shields Lane, 9800 South, affecting all directions of traffic. Steve?
Nice drive right now. Wide open speeds and crash-free on both directions of I-15 between downtown Salt Lake City and the Brigham City-Logan ramps. Same goes for the West Side Bell if you're on northbound 250 or Legacy. And if you're on Highway 89, got a good drive as well between Farmington and South Weber. VA and Salt Lake City Enrollment Office is open. Go online today to see if you qualify for health care benefits. American United Federal Credit Union is a proud sponsor of VA Salt Lake City. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
And let's check the 7-day forecast with Brett Benson.
Weather conditions will remain largely the same through the rest of the week. We're going to see temperatures in the mid-50s for Wednesday, Thursday, hazy skies, hazy and 51 on Friday. Saturday, Sunday, a little cooler, highs in the upper 40s, and we should see some clearing as far as the pollution as well. Upper 40s Monday, developing rain and snow showers by Monday evening into Tuesday, rain and snow as well. 45 for a high. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Brett Benson.
54 degrees downtown. KSL News Time 322. The 15-year-old accused of killing four people and injuring seven during a school shooting in Michigan yesterday has been charged with four counts of first-degree murder and one count of terrorism. ABC's Brian Clark joins me now live. And Brian, first of all, tell us why the prosecution decided to charge him as an adult.
Well, they said the crimes are so severe that under Michigan law, there are certain crimes where you can charge somebody as an adult. The prosecutor in Oakland County said first-degree murder is certainly one of those. So that was what drove the decision. And she also cited just the fact that there would be a real danger if he was not tried as an adult, that he could be out one day. She's essentially saying this is somebody who needs to be in prison for the rest of his life.
The sheriff today also holding a news conference. Did he offer some new details?
Yeah, we learned that the suspect's parents were actually called into the school yesterday morning before the shooting for a conference. Now, there were no threats specifically against the school, but the school had flagged some behavior from this suspect that they say was concerning. So the parents came in for a conference just hours before the shooting happened.
Is there anything to indicate at this point that the parents may also face charges?
It's possible. They said that they are not ruling out charges. They said a decision could come swiftly. This was the gun that was used in the attack was purchased by the suspect's father less than a week ago. They wouldn't really clarify or get into how this kid allegedly obtained the gun, whether it was given to him, whether he took it from his father. So it sounds like there are a lot of things they still want to go through that could ultimately result in charges for the two parents.
We learned earlier today that one of those injured victims, a 17-year-old, died. What is the condition of the other seven injured victims?
Well, four have gotten out of the hospital. Three are still in the hospital. And the most critical one is a 17-year-old who's in critical condition. She was shot in the chest. A 14-year-old who also underwent surgery yesterday, they say she's improved, she's stable. And there's a 17-year-old who is still hospitalized. So three still in the hospital.
Brian, we appreciate the update. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Live on the KSL Newsline, that is ABC's Brian Clark.
Scott and I were able recently to go through the Mystery Escape Room for another great room. We've been through a handful of times before. And right now at the Mystery Escape Room right around the corner here at the Gateway, they've got the Spirit of Christmas Past escape room that you do not want to miss. And this is one of those that you can take the whole family to. So you can go to the Mystery Escape Room. Go to mysteryescaperoom.com. It was a blast. And it was one of those that we actually got to solve, Scott. We beat that thing.
We're smart enough to figure it out.
We're smart enough to figure it out. And it's just a blast if you go to Mystery Escape Room. Try the Christmas room this year and get your kids involved.
Look, book these for the holidays because they sell out quickly. And it's really a great experience. It's so much fun. We've gone and done this several times. It's a great thing for a family or really a group of people, friends, people you work with, a fun experience. Christmas Room was exciting. It'll get you into the spirit of Christmas, but they also have other themes. And they're really fun, and they're really well done, well thought of. You may or may not solve them. They're really, really hard to solve. Check all of it out at mysteryescaperoom.com.
Richard Whipple Plumbing, my dad's one-truck plumbing company, was literally a kitchen table operation. He sat at the table eating, taking calls, and visiting with salespeople while we often sat nearby, listening and eating in our pajamas. He taught us be friendly, do the job right, and stand behind our work. Mom was the bookkeeper, and when the phone rang, any of his nine children could be answering. The phone was rotary, a party line, and there was no call waiting, voicemail, or answering machine. Things have updated in our call center and in so many other ways, but the core values taught remain. When you call Whipple Service Champions today, 24 hours a day, you'll get a live client care representative. No busy signal. You'll get technicians on call in every department, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical, and drain cleaning. And we won't be in our pajamas. Call Whipple Service Champions, a friendly family business since 1947, 801-444-FAST. 444-FAST.
Whipple, they come, plumbing troubles all gone.
For emergencies, when you call today, we come today.
We are watching Utah's money. Burger King has announced it's cutting some menu items to speed its drive-through lanes. Company also moving away from paper coupons in favor of its loyalty program and mobile app rewards. KSL Drive, General Motors is planning a new joint venture with a South Korean chemical company to produce the materials needed for EV batteries. Companies plan to open a new facility in North America in 2024. No more overdraft fees. Capital One is eliminating all consumer overdraft fees, giving up nearly $150 million in annual revenue. Customers will be automatically rolled over to the Overdraft Protection Service early next year. On Wall Street today, another bad day for the markets. The Dow closed down 461 points to end at 34,022. S&P fell 53. The NASDAQ dropped 283. Are you a jet or a shark? Either way, it's time to get excited about the new West Side Story.
The first reactions are in for Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. One name is getting a lot of attention.
I want to be happy here.
Newcomer Rachel Zegler takes on the starring role of Maria. And at the film's premiere this week, she said this is an updated version with a classic feel.
The conversation about gentrification has been opened up vastly, and I think that's such an important part of our film, while also maintaining that charm of the original musical with all of that music and the dancing and the sweeping score.
West Side Story getting rave reviews. It'll be in theaters December 10th. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.